This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Thursday, the 9th of June. My name is Audrey Raj. And joining me on the show today for the first time is the lovely Lily Chai.
Hello, good afternoon.
On the show today, you know, it being Lily's first show and all, we are going to be talking about digitalization and the digitization of our public sector. If you would like to get in touch with us and tell us what you think about our topic today, you can do so via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter at BFM Radio is our handle. Now, every sector was forced to pivot from the traditional pen and paper to adopting digital measures during the course of the pandemic. And you know, for example, we can choose to work remotely as our organizations have transferred data to cloud services, you know, making data accessible anywhere and everywhere. Even traditional mom and pop stores now use e-wallets for transactions, right? Mm-hmm. Now, with all these digital transitioning measures in place, we realize by going digital, things can move faster, generate higher productivity, and of course, efficiency. As private sectors have raised the threshold on customer experience, most of us would also expect our government sectors or public sectors to keep up as well. Now, keeping up with the rakyat's expectations by going digital will, of course, gain nothing but incredible benefits to our government. First, the government will be able to gain the people's trust. You know, it was reported in McKinsey's Public Sector Journey Benchmark Survey in 2018 that people who are satisfied with a public service are 9 times more likely to trust the government overall than those who are not. Other tangible benefits of going digital is that digital public service offices are able to open 24/7 and continue operation even if, you know, a crisis like COVID-19 happens.
Right. So automating cases, like handling all these things online, it significantly boosts the productivity, reducing backlogs and freeing up resources for other priorities. And this is another imperative advantage in the wake of COVID. And when the speed and resilience for delivering critical services such as unemployment or medical benefits, these things are paramount. Mm. So with fewer repetitive and time-consuming tasks, our public sector employees can also stand to the benefit from digitalization and drive higher satisfaction for the people, yeah. You and I. So with multiple restrictions during our lockdowns, right, we needed to highly and heavily rely on public services to, let's say, renew our license or get simple registrations done. But at that time, remember, we could only do it at home.
Exactly.
And we had state restrictions. How are we supposed to do that? So everything moved online. So it can be seen that the government's digital role has been heightened exponentially. And since then, to reduce the people's need to visit counters at certain branches and certain government agencies.
Yeah. So how much has the digitalization of Malaysia's public sector actually progress? You know, Accenture Malaysia did a study on this, and here's what they had to say. Number one, our government is embracing the concept of everywhere, anywhere. It's found that 77% of Malaysian workers are cozying up to the idea of hybrid working and want flexible remote work options to continue. I kind of feel like that's more than 77% now. And this culture has permeated into the public sphere as well. In fact, 91% of public service leaders worldwide believe their organizations are becoming truly virtual with online work processes. And Malaysia's Public Service Department has also indicated that working from home will be a long-term policy beyond the pandemic.
Right. So recently, the Malaysian Administrative Modernization and Management Planning Unit, which is called MAMPU, is the leading government agency monitoring the implementation of the exercise to digitalize the delivery of service in public sectors. So the government now, they are considering to continue the implementation of working from home. And they are looking into 2 main objectives. The first one is to mitigate the risk of the spread of the virus. Still, we are still in the pandemic. And to manage the performance of civil servants by creating a balance between job requirement and personal obligation to increase their work satisfaction mm-hmm. and productivity. Now, the second objective they're looking at is they want to look at detailed study outline of the digital technology support. And of course, the most important ones, which are data privacy and security. Mm. So all of these are important, as well as such legal implications as well. So what Mampu did was it run end-to-end service digitalization pilot project with Malaysian Immigration Department, which is our JIM, and Road Transport Department, which is our JPJ, in November 2020 to May 2021. And the results were actually quite encouraging. The use of end-to-end services for JIM and JPJ at the end of the pilot project, it increased up to 170% compared to the targeted 10%. So it has been proven that during the MCO period, the public sector could operate and still support the economic sectors, and the impact on productivity was actually very minimal. So last year in July, about 57% of public sector services across federal, state, and local agencies, they are already using end-to-end online government service.
Another example is with Lembaga Tabung Haji. They introduced a cloud service solution called Cloud CX Solution, and this is to enhance the the Tabung Haji's contact center services for about 9 million customers and more than 120 branches nationwide. Now, with rising call volumes during the pandemic, this system allowed tracking and analyzing of about 10,000 voice interactions monthly and resolved 96% of inquiries within the first interaction. So, you know, they say the next step would be unraveling the metaverse. And Accenture actually predicts that the metaverse will be at the intersection of many new worlds, from building new physical and virtual realities to providing services and environments created by others.
Right. So the second thing that Accenture found was the world has become programmable. So the last 2 years were the boom for new models of digital experience, right? And what's amazing was all of these technologies that we see now can be used even without highly specialized skills. Like our mothers, our grandparents, they can use e-wallets very easily, right? Mm. So government agencies worldwide are attuned to this. 87% of public service leaders worldwide, they all believe that all these technologies in place is critical in organizational innovation by arming non-tech employees with tools and skills to build tech solution. So the use of tech is gaining traction in Malaysia as well, with 80% of executives from both private and public sectors, they are convinced that technology democratization is critical for innovation.
All right, the third point that Accenture found is the move from me to we. Now, the pandemic has spotlighted the intense need for multi-party systems to enable seamless data sharing between individuals and organizations to drive efficiency. Now, this is when multi-party tech, such as your blockchain, distributed ledger, and tokenization that was once deemed too complicated, actually took center stage. Mm-hmm. Now, for public service organizations, partnerships with the private sector are no longer just beneficial, but they are now necessary, you know, to solve new problems as intersections emerge between areas like healthcare and travel. And we've seen what's happened in Singapore, right, with SingPass and Singapore's national identity system. That's like really a beautiful case study for something like this, you know, that whole public-private partnership.
So the fourth point that Accenture identified was new machines, new possibility. So Accenture mentions that kind of technology the public service chooses today will influence long-term possibilities. So there is a need to build technical wealth, deviate from obsolete systems, and adopt an adaptive and reusable, sustainable approach to tech. The Malaysian government is laying down a long-term technology infrastructure, and one of which is called the MyGov Cloud at PDSA. Now, this a cloud computing service is offered by the Public Sector Data Center, which is the PDSA, which is also Mampu, to public sector agencies covering two main services, namely the data center services and disaster recovery center. Now, this cloud service allows more than 1,000 systems across government agencies to share facilities with secured access, also allowing cloud migration journeys to easily take flight.
Right. So, you know, you've seen like these findings and you can see why they generally just make sense, right?
Right.
Now, well, the benefits of digitization, they're obvious. Making real progress, however, is easier said than done. Public sectors must transform the entire public administration. You know, it's a challenge, but by no means this is beyond our government's capabilities. So for more on this, we'll be speaking to Azwan Baharuddin, Country Managing Director of Accenture Malaysia, and Nora Fisher Malik, Managing Director and Digital Enterprise Architecture Lead of Southeast Asia at Accenture Singapore. They will be on the line with us right after a music break. Enterprise Biz Bytes will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Raj and joining me in the studio today is...
Lily Chai.
On the show today, we are talking about the digitalization and digitization of our public sector. You know, we're transitioning rather rapidly into digitalizing everything we do thanks to the pandemic. But what about your simple things like renewing your licenses or making an application in the public sector? Is visiting a government agency counter still a thing or should it still be a thing? And we are going to be talking about this with our two guests who are waiting very patiently on the line right now. We have Azwan Baharuddin, Country Managing Director of Accenture Malaysia, as well as Nora Fisher Malik, Managing Director and Digital Enterprise Architecture Lead of Southeast Asia at Accenture Singapore. Guys, thank you so much for waiting on the line. Now, just to kick things off, based on the article that the both of you wrote and that we were discussing before the break, out of like 11,000 plus services in July last year across federal, state and local agencies, about 57% are already end-to-end online government services. What's happening with the rest? What's stalling the other 40 plus percent? Cost, teamwork, mindset? Is it a lack of political will? What's going on here?
The fact is the pandemic was a great catalyst to kind of shift gears in terms of digitalization, in terms of getting government online, right? In fact, even before the pandemic, the government already had plans. And in fact, many parts of the government was already online, right? But there are different levels of complexity in getting government online. The different platforms that exist today that may or may not talk to each other. There are platforms which are new and then there are platforms that are old, which are old and need a significant refresh. So the effort to integrate them all is challenging, but the magic is about getting them to all talk to each other. So that's a higher level of difficulty. You know, if you have a phone at home of one platform and you want it to talk to another platform and then another platform, you know how it is, right? When you move from Android to Apple, Apple to PC, for example, yeah, it looks simple, but it's actually quite difficult. The consistency is not there. When they're able to talk to each other, it's only then, right, this experience comes to life that you can create this seamless experience for all citizens, for all the rakyat. What I like to call it, a new Malaysian experience. But that's not so easy to achieve because there are many parts of government. There's central government, there's local government, and there's government agencies as well. But the one thing I wanted to point was that it's not just about the infrastructure. It's not the applications, it's not the hardware, but it's also about the people. The people need to be ready. So while the government is pursuing the target of 80%, end-to-end government services by 2025. A parallel target in My Digital is to achieve 100% digital literacy for the civil service at the same time. So it's a combination of many things, cost, teamwork, mindset, political will. Yeah, you could say bits of everything, but the reality of it is technically it's not easy. It'll take time, but I think we'll get there.
Right, Azwan. The article Essential wrote was also suggesting that the next step for organizations would be stepping into the metaverse continuum. Now, how far are we from that reality in Malaysia? And what are we doing right? And what are the roadblocks?
The metaverse is created over many, many different platforms and rival platforms. The challenge is that do we have the right the right protocols for you to jump from one metaverse to another. So it has to be seamless. So at the point where we are at the very beginning, it becomes a bit more challenging. And there are many ways to do this, but it'll take some time. So in Malaysia, you know, we have had a really good experience, right? We've seen experiences that bring both physical and virtual worlds seamless together. Like we did this thing, you know, in an augmented reality concert on a bottle by Pepsi. We also did a virtual showroom where anytime, anywhere for BMW, and also the VR experience city for TM1. And all this is created by Entropia, which is part of Accenture. It is local, I'll tell you. And in fact, just last month, we hosted the first career fair in the metaverse. It got a lot of traction, and we called it the Accenture Careerverse. And it was designed essentially for technology talent to come into the space so that they can engage with us. They could see the work they could be doing, and they can also imagine how they can grow in their tech career with us. But although some folks said it was not a full metaverse experience, that because when you look at the real metaverse, you need kind of the VR headsets, right? But those are expensive. You also need dedicated servers because you're going to push through the pixels in calculation because you've got so many people in the metaverse, right? And of course, you need a fast broadband as well. So in order to get it to the masses, right, we wanted the careers to reach everybody, all the talent, the target talents in Malaysia as much as possible. So we created a web-based platform. It's called the Web VR, right? So they all can access it. So we're also using it to improve interactions. We have our own, we launched our own Accenture Metaverse called the Nth Floor, and it will host about 150,000 new hires in a virtual campus, right? It's called One Accenture Park. They will come there on the first day at work at Accenture. But I'm so excited by the prospect of the metaverse because the potential for workplace applications are enormous. In fact, recently Accenture signed an MOU with HRD Corp to collaborate on teledevelopment formulations, for example. For the government, right, when I think about the fact that they have 1.5 to 1.6 million civil servants, imagine what a game changer the metaverse would be because you can train them in a different way, will have new experiences and have access to many more people than they've had. So I think the metaverse allows us to create a much greater collaboration across ministries and agencies, right? And training them, you know, to get the 100% literacy as dictated by the My Digital Blueprint can get done far easier than going to classrooms.
Noura Fisher, I have the next one is for you. Now, an example of a provider with seamless end-to-end digital services across various government agencies, like we mentioned before the break, was SingPass, you know, Singapore's national identity system for its 3.3 million users. Is this something that, I'm just curious here, can be adopted here, you know, maybe perhaps through MySejahtera?
Definitely. A seamless end-to-end digital services can and should be adopted in Malaysia. As for the platform, it can be any. The point is to give our citizens a secure and simple way to access public services. When it is seamless and easy to access, adoption and interaction will just then increase naturally. Imagine being able to authenticate your access to government service portals without having to create and remember multiple logins. Wouldn't that be easy?
Right. But there has been talks about data transparency
and leaks and stuff like
that. Yeah, and things like that as well. So how can we potentially address this issue of security and privacy in public sectors?
Security, it needs to be a foundational consideration when one designs the system architecture. The whole system itself needs to be secured by design. Consideration for the architecture include how the systems will be utilized, the different levels of security required for different types of data, and who will be assessing it. Example of some security solutions are identity and access management, application security, and the whole DevSecOps for the application development and operations, host and network security, data security, and security operations. I believe one big step to a more secure system would be if there is one national digital identity for our people. The fact is that, you know, once you have this as one national digital identity and managed within a centralized repository that holds the citizens' data rather than multiple agencies having their own copy of the same data, perhaps captured when the citizens dealt with those agencies. Having the information everywhere just increases the risk to the way how the information is being used, given there might be different levels of security for the different agencies too, right? However, any conversation about security and privacy is incomplete without taking the human factor into consideration. This responsibility also lies with the users of the system, where citizens themselves need to guard their own personal data, and those who work with that data needs to be vigilant in how the data is being handled.
Now, the Malaysian government's new cloud hosting service, MyGovCloud at PDSA, it allows more than 1,000 systems across government agencies to share facilities with secure access, you know, allowing cloud migration journeys to easily take flight. But the question here is, you know, have we actually taken flight? Your thoughts?
The journey has somewhat started, and it depends on the level of adoption undertaken by the different agencies. For many agencies, the transition to cloud may not be that straightforward because implementing systemic change can be complicated, especially for complex and large tech transformation initiatives. Some of the challenges can also be around the need to align stakeholders, fluctuating available budgets, as well as shifting regulatory frameworks, which is why we need our public service leaders to be very clear on the value that the cloud migration will bring so that the purpose can be understood by those that will be impacted by the journey and to embrace a culture of collaboration within government agencies and externally with ecosystem partners.
So, Azwan, this is for you. We would like to ask that public and private partnerships are crucial, right? And I believe Accenture has set up the Advanced Technology Center. What does it hope to achieve?
Public and private partnerships, if done right, can be very beneficial to the development and advancement of any country. However, you know, how can enterprise like us in the private sector contribute to government's ambition for digital transformation? Well, the fact is that we tend to employ talent with the latest skills, or at least develop talent that is future ready, you know. So in order to drive this concept, we recently launched an ATCM, or Advanced Technology Center, for Malaysia, and we're taking it upon ourselves to train and export people from Malaysia. And not just, this is not about an outsourcing piece. This is about Malaysians doing projects overseas to understand, open their eyes about the art of the possible. You know, as a firm, we do fantastical projects across the globe. You know, if we train talent the right way, expose them, you know, we establish a training academy in that sense, then, you know, when they come back, the ambition will be laced with the experience of understanding what other countries and companies do. And that will drive the ambition to really transform the nation, so to speak, right? So driving talent upskilling, creating the capacity, and crucially capability is something I think that will help us drive not just the government's digital ambition, but also the countries. But it's also important that we use this to help, you know, our government better understand the art of the possible, as I always say it. We recently signed an MOU with HRE Corp, with the Prime Minister and also the Minister of Human Resources in Washington recently. We committed to help the training, upskilling of talent in Malaysia. You know, we are we will use data and analytics to identify skill gaps and so that we can deliver the training to the people. Of course, with HRD Corp, but then, you know, match them with where the job skills requirements are right across the globe. So this capability can then be kind of applied across our global public service workforce as well. So it's not just HRD Corp for Malaysians for export. But also, you know, these talent can be used in the civil service. So on the one hand, the technology, you know, things like cloud, data, and AI needs to be upgraded and, of course, equipped for digital nation. And, you know, buying stuff is something that we can do. But crucially, the public service workforce, right, the civil service, must really be equally equipped with not just the concept of digital literacy, but also must possess the right skills, of which I think private sector can really, really help.
Thank you so much for that, Azwan. That was Azwan Baharudin, Country Managing Director of Accenture Malaysia. You also would have heard Nora Fisha Malik, Managing Director and Digital Enterprise Architecture Lead of Southeast Asia at Accenture Singapore. Now, I'm really glad that, Lily, you chose to pick this topic because I've always wondered, I've always wondered, you know, when I would be able to just do everything online. Like, you know, I'm dreading the fact that I have to go and renew my driving license, exactly. You know, just because I tried to do it online and it didn't want to accept my photo, and I tried to do my passport
that happened
online
to you as well,
and I couldn't upload my photo. And so,
yeah,
like,
it's these small little things that bugs you.
Yes, it does.
And
you know,
the problem is you don't know what's the problem. They say the picture is not satisfactory, but what is the problem? They say, oh, you need to go to the actual branch to settle things, and that is quite frustrating because that's the main reason why we are going digital, right? We want to lessen the hustle of going to the counter, queuing for 4 to 6 hours just to get my passport renewed. That is just frustrating for me.
And the other thing, I guess, for me is that I know that if this was done by a private sector company or whatever, it would be a flawless experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that whole public-private partnerships is something that I'm really hoping to see. You know, we've seen this beautiful case study in Singapore and, like, fingers crossed, you know, that will be the case here as well. Mm. If you missed out on any part of our show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. But don't go anywhere. Coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. And this morning, the morning run had Julian Neo, the Managing Director of DHL Express Malaysia and Brunei, in the hot seat. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up right after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. But for now, on behalf of Lily Chai and myself, Audrey Raj, we hope you have a wonderful Thursday ahead. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.